and forever. Amen. Grace, grace ties in with this with this text this morning. There are times in our lives where we truly and can completely know and understand God's grace. Things that have happened in our lives that without Him, things could have gone very wrong. Without Him, things could have turned out very bad. But I think the most important part of His grace is that we believe. And because of His grace, we know and understand that our sins are forgiven and washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that because of that grace, we can look forward to be one day being with Him in His heavenly home. I'd like to read for a text this morning, a portion recorded in Romans chapter 3, and beginning with verse 19 and reading through verse 28. That's Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 19 and reading the words in Jesus' name. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith unto them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, by the law of faith, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Amen. This particular Sunday we celebrate the Reformation. And it is a time, I believe, that was ordained by God. There are several things that had to fall into place for Martin Luther to be able to do what he did. Of course, the first thing that happened was that God convicted him. And he began to wonder about the rules and the regulations that were set forth by the church. He began to be concerned about some of the things that were needed, that the church required. So he set forth to make them known. And he nailed his thesis to the door there in Germany, in a town in Germany. And it's interesting, I was studying up a little bit on that. All of this occurred just about the time of the invention of the printing press. Now, prior to that time, without the press, things were done by word of mouth. And they were spread abroad, and they would go quite a ways out from where they happened. Let me ask you this, how often do you know of where somebody knows of something or witnessed something that happened? When they start talking about it, by the time it gets to the wherever it's going to go, whether it's here or up in Washington or in New Hampshire or Florida or wherever, or over in Europe or wherever it happens to go, if it were come back to you, would it be repeated exactly as it happened? Probably not. But that's the fallacy of man, and that's the way things are done. So we see that when this printing press was invented, what Martin Luther did was printed. And it is said that within a month's time, the entire state or country of Germany had received a copy of it and was able to read it. Within a two-month period, the whole entire area of Europe was able to read it and to know it, just in 2 months. But they read it exactly as it had been written, because it was copied exactly as it was written. Was this a just happenstance? No. I don't believe that for a moment. This was God's plan. And this is how he put it forth. The first two verses in our text deal with the law. The whole text, well, actually the first 20 verses actually deal with the law. And it was a time where the Israelites, or the Jewish nation, had a very difficult time trying to give it up. There were some that would take it, but then there would be some that would come into the church and they would try to make others believe that you needed to do things in order to be saved. You needed to have action in order to be worthy. And you see, this is the same thing that what the church was going through during Martin Luther's time. The things that he wrote about had to do with the purchasing of what they call indulgence, where if you had committed a particular offense or sin, you could go and you could buy an indulgence, and then you would be freed from that sin. No longer had to worry about it. But you had to do something, or you had to pay something in order to be free. And that's not much difference at all than as what the Jewish people were struggling with, and even the Romans, who this letter was written to. Pastor Harvey last week talked about on a little different vein, of course. He was talking more of resting on the Sabbath. But yet, one thing that he mentioned is still the same, and it still is part of this. We here in this country are a very work-oriented society. We're very production-oriented. The more you produce, the more valuable you are. And in a lot of cases, the more you produce, the more you're expected to produce. Well, that in itself can be a detriment to a Christian. Because falling into that line, falling into that trap, can be a dangerous place to be. The law is kind of the same way. The scriptural law, the Mosaic law. The more you produce, the more you obey, the more worthy you feel that you've become. And the same thing happens today. Let me ask you, and I personally point to myself, but maybe you feel the same way I do. Has there ever been a time, and each and every one of us here believe in Christ, our faith is in Christ, our salvation is through Christ and what his blood did. I know that. I believe that. But have you ever, even for a fleeting moment, bumped up against a thought that, hey, I'm doing pretty good here. Things are moving along pretty easy. Or I did a good job on that. Or this has turned out good. Or that's turned out. In other words, thinking maybe I'm a little better than I am. I know I certainly have. God doesn't want that. And quite honestly, as soon as those thoughts come, by the grace of God, I'm able to say, Satan, go away. Because that's where those thoughts come from. That's where they originate from. And oh, he would dearly love you to pursue that avenue. He would dearly love it that you would continue in that vein and try to make yourself more significant than you are. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them that are under the law. Those are the ones who obey it. Those who are under that law. Those are the ones who obey everything about it. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Those who are under the law have got to become guilty before God and recognize that there is nothing of themselves. The Mosaic Law had a very distinct purpose. And it's very valuable even today. Because it is a school teacher. And as it says at the end of the 20th verse, is for by the law is the knowledge of sin. We recognize that we can't keep that law and that we need Christ as our Savior. But now, in beginning with verse 21, he changes tone, or he changes the message. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested or is made known, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In the 26th chapter of Acts, I had it marked here. He says the apostle says it this way. It's Acts 26, verse 22. And he says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. The prophets of old knew of Christ. The prophets of old knew of the promise of Christ. The people of old were given that insight and that promise by God. Isaiah talks about it a lot. They knew that there was going to be salvation coming. And they tried to tell the people of the Jewish nation that this was going to happen. And unfortunately, a lot of them didn't pay any attention, which is not unusual. Salvation is through Christ and no other way. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, there is no difference. You see, at this time, there was a battle going on in the church. The Jewish people felt that, all of this belongs to us because we are God's chosen nation. Well, it does. It did. And does today. It does belong to them. But where the problem came in is that they did not recognize that the Gentile nation should also have it. And they were trying to keep it for themselves and say, no, it's ours, not theirs. Well, the little problem that came up with that was that they wouldn't pay any attention to them. And when they were told over and over again, look, you're not doing what you should be doing. Christ himself is the one that told them that. And through the examples of the woman at the well and the man by the wayside that had fallen among thieves, people that were not even respected by the Jewish nation, and yet Christ loved them. The woman who came and talked to Christ and wanted to hear his message. But because she was a Jew, Christ said to her that, well, the message is not for you. What was her response? She said, Master, even the dogs eat up the crumbs under the table, that fall under the table. She knew that message was for her. The same as that same message is for us today. That woman was satisfied with the crumbs that she could glean from what Jesus said. That woman was satisfied with just a small portion. Why? Because she believed. And that's the difference. She believed what Jesus said. She believed what Jesus was teaching. And she wanted to have part of it. There is no difference, or there is no distinction between the Jew or the Gentile or the Polish or the Italian or any of them. We are all children of God. Why? Because we believe in what he did. We believe in that death on the cross. We believe that that blood that was shed was for the remission of our sins. That's why we are all the same. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Another way of saying that is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it's a truth. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. We've all stepped in the wrong direction and gone the wrong way at some point in our lives. And yet God still loves us. And he still cares for us. And he still watches over us. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is Christ Jesus. We've fallen short, and yet we're still justified. And justified freely. We didn't have to pay anything. We didn't have to do anything. We didn't have to go out and perform some miraculous act, or we had to go out and work 80 or 90 hours a week in order to attain this. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. By whose grace? God's grace. And the redemptive work that his son did on the cross. All of these things put together so that we might have a hope for eternal life. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. In Christ dying on that cross, he was the appeasing, which is what propitiation actually means in today's verbiage. He appeased God by dying on that cross. And that through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past. All of the sins, and this proclaims now about for the Jewish people. Because all the sins that they were guilty of, that we are guilty of, they're gone. They're washed away in the blood of Christ. Why? Because we believe. I can't emphasize that enough. Faith in Christ is believing in him. Believing in what he has done. That's what faith is. God has set forth to be a propitiation through the faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. All of the sins are washed away. There's nothing left. There's nothing. Something that we did 10, 15, 20, 60, 50, how many years ago, it's forgiven. It's gone. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. He's declaring God's righteousness. That he might be just and the justifier of him. Why are we justified? Again, because we believe. It's so important. We can't just take a portion of it. We can't just take a little bit of that faith and say, okay, well, I believe this part, but I'm not going to believe that part, and still expect to be saved. It's not going to happen. It's all or nothing, folks. You have to believe what Christ has done and know that he did it for us. I was reading in this morning the a little devotion, was it Daily Bread? I don't know if some of you get it or if you've seen it, saw today's, but there was it spoke about a family and whose young child was when it was very young, was diagnosed with a very severe case of cancer. Very little hope. In fact, the hope was this, that the hospital were telling them that they should be making funeral arrangements and that the percentages of this child coming out of it were single digit. They talked about prayer and how that they need to pray, and you know, this is the husband and wife talking about it. But they approached it from this avenue. The same way that Christ approached it in the garden, when he said, "If it be thy will, remove this cup from me. But not my will, but thy will be done." And this is the way they approach this, these people, about the health of their child. God, we want this child to be saved. But not our will, but your will be done. And that's the way that it is. Like it or not, it's God's will. It's God's plan. Some might say, well, yeah, but I mean, look at Lot, you know. I mean, he went around and he bargained with God to try to change his plan. Yeah, he did. But did God change his plan? Nope. The entire city was destroyed. Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt. Why? Because she did not obey. God has a plan. But he wants us as to believers to recognize that he is the one that's in control, that he is the one that's in charge, not us. And when things come up that we are confronted with, absolutely we have to pray. Because in prayer, we're recognizing the fact that God is the one who is in charge. And he is the one who is in control. And just through the very act of prayer, we are in essence saying that. But not my will, but thy will be done. I heard something the other day where something happened to somebody and he was asked. He said, well, did you pray about it? Well, yeah, I did. Well, what did you pray? Well, get me out of it. No. The prayer needs to be, God, help me through it. Because there's a reason why I'm here. There's a reason why this is happening. And I pray, God, that you would help me get through it and teach me the lesson that you want me to know. Because you know more than I do. I don't want to do this. But yet I know that with you by my side and with you giving me the strength to continue, that I will be able to get through it. This is the type of prayer that we need to do. Of course we're going to pray to that it's taken away. I mean, there's no question about that. I got to go get this knee replaced. I don't want to do that. I'd much rather be without it. But yet God has given the wisdom and the intelligence to mankind to be able to fix it. So I have to go through it. But God, whatever it is that you want me to know through going through this, I pray that you would show it to me. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. There's no boasting. There's no boasting about the law and all the precious things that we've done. The law of faith, that's where our understanding comes. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. I was reading something on this morning. I ran across this little list. I thought it was rather very significant. Because it is faith alone that saves us. There's nothing else. There's four different things that this writer wrote down in reference to this verse. Talking about faith. He says, faith eliminates the pride of human effort because faith is not a deed that we do. Eliminates the pride of human effort. We don't have to do anything. So we can't take credit for whatever it is that we did. Because faith is not a deed that we do. It's something that's within us. Faith exalts what God has done, not what people do. That is God who gives the encouragement to these people to continue. The missionaries that go out and have a heartfelt desire to go and spread the gospel message. God gives that, not mankind. And it is the faith that person has that they use and go out. Faith admits that we can't keep the law or measure up to God's standards. We need help. We can't keep that law of ourselves. It's the faith in what Christ has done for us that we can even say to this day that I am saved. And finally, he says, faith is based on our relationship with God. Now listen to this last part of it. Not our performance for God. Big difference. Big difference. Faith is based on our relationship with God, not our performance for God. We don't do things to make ourselves worthy. We don't do things so that we would be able to stand before God on that last day and, well, look what I did. I went out and I did, and you give off a big old whole list of it. No. We stand before God in faith. And what kind of faith is that? It's our faith in Jesus Christ. We can't do anything. There's nothing that we can do for God. He does for us. And that's the difference between us and the world and those who don't believe. Our faith is our salvation because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Our faith is what one day we can stand before the judge. And if asked, why do you feel worthy to come in? Because I believe on the death of my Savior and on the blood that he shed. And I believe that it was because of that death and because of that blood that I can consider myself his child. This is the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. An unbeliever will try to earn his way. A believer will recognize that there is nothing I have of my own save that what God has given me. May he add his blessings to these words. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we ask, O God, that you would continue to bless us. And that, Lord, in the days that are coming up ahead, we ask, O God, that you would remind us of where our salvation lies, and that we would never stray from that path and think of ourselves more highly than we ought. For indeed, there is nothing that we can boast of in this flesh, but that we look to you for all the guidance and strength. And now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.